Psalm of David. Divine majesty and human dignity. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the Epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be filled with the Spirit. So be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. Take advantage of every opportunity, because these are evil times. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the epistle reading. Amen.
Well, I do have to say that I think it quite ironic that J.T. Kim invited me to come and preach today, me being the most useless music person in the world. But I am really enjoying this. This is beautiful. And the community that has been built here around the music program is just amazing. And I thank every one of you for doing all of this and making this service so wonderful. So now we're going to do a little bit of a shift. Pastor Kim had invited me to speak to what I've been doing for the last few years. So let us be first in the spirit of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So if you don't know me, let me give you a little quick introduction. It was here at First UMC of Riverside that I finally said yes to God's call to ordain ministry. Well, okay, actually it was more of a fine God, have it your way, but the result was the same. A few years later, that call took me up to the Eastern Sierra, where I have spent the last 5 years serving the three Methodist churches in Inyo County. Now, when I arrived, I thought I knew all about rural ministry. I was so wrong. Life is different in the Eastern Sierra. Life is slower, yes, but it is also far more connected. Quick little example. Last summer, I moved into the newly renovated parsonage down in Big Pine. Now, Big Pine's about 15 minutes south of Bishop. And I'd been there only a couple of weeks when I walked out the door on my way to church and realized just as soon as the door closed behind me and latched that my keys were still on the kitchen counter. No worries, I thought. I got this. So I walked around to the front of the window, that's lower to the ground. Checked it out. Screen, absolutely locked tight, not happening. Like, okay, I've still got this, no problem. Walked around to the side of the house where I was able to pop the window out of the bedroom, pop the screen out of the bedroom window and climb through, dress the whole bit all together, grab my keys, walked off to church. Now remember that Big Pine's about 15 miles south of Bishop. So that's about the distance between here and Fontana. And yet, when I walked into the sanctuary at church, Dorothy greeted me with a knowing smile and said, "Locked yourself out of the house this morning, didn't you?" See, the news beat me to Bishop. That's how you know you live in a small town. Now, the good thing about living in a connected community is that you do know what's going on. And the outside world may fade into the background a bit, but people understand that everyone has a role to play in making the community work. And one of the issues that we were facing as a community was what to do with our food waste. Now, the Bishop UMC operates a soup kitchen 3 days a week, providing healthy meals free of charge to anyone who comes. However, preparing over 200 meals a week creates a lot of food scraps, and Inyo County has no options for processing the organic waste. And we were troubled by how much of this was ending up back in the landfill. And as we wrestled with the problem, we found ourselves again and again referring back to Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we named the project Psalm 8 because this scripture reminds us that humans are part of creation, not separate from it. And what strikes me about Psalm 8 is that it begins not with responsibility, but with wonder. The psalmist looks up to the heavens, at the moon and the stars, and is overwhelmed by the beauty and the vastness of creation. And only then comes the question, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? See, in our modern world, we often begin with ourselves. We ask, what can creation do for us, and how can it serve us, and how can it be used? But Psalm 8 begins somewhere else entirely. It begins with awe. See, before humanity is given responsibility, humanity is given perspective. The environmental crisis we face today is not simply a failure of policy. It is also a failure of wonder. Because when we stop seeing the world as sacred, we begin treating it as disposable. The psalmist found wonder in the stars above. The Psalm 8 Worm Project taught us to discover wonder in the soil beneath our feet. Now, for centuries, many Christians have read Psalm 8 primarily as a statement of human superiority. But Psalm 8 actually begins with wonder, not domination. The psalmist looks up to the stars and says, "Who are we?" And the Worm Project taught us to ask the same questions while looking at the soil. See, humans are given a responsibility with creation, but we remain creatures ourselves. Psalm 8 tells us that humanity has been given dominion over creation. But unfortunately, many people have interpreted that word to mean domination. But in scriptures, rulers are judged not by how much power they exercise, but how faithfully they care for what has been entrusted to them. The biblical image of leadership is not a conqueror, it's a shepherd. Dominion in God's kingdom does not mean ownership. It means stewardship. We do not own creation, we belong to it, even as we are entrusted with its care. See, the truth is, the Worm Project never really was about saving the planet. It was about learning to be faithful caretakers of one small corner of God's creation. And the worms became a living reminder that we eat from the earth, and our waste returns to the earth, and the earth feeds us again. And this cycle is holy. In nature, there is no waste. What dies becomes nourishment. What appears finished becomes the beginning of something new. See, compost is resurrection theology in slow motion. And the longer that I worked with the worms, the more I realized that they were teaching a lesson far larger than just composting. See, resurrection is one of God's favorite activities. Throughout Scripture, God continually transforms endings into beginnings. Slavery becomes freedom. Exile becomes homecoming. Crucifixion becomes resurrection. Again and again, God takes what appears spent, broken, discarded, or dead, and brings new life. And the worms participate in that same holy pattern. Our food scraps fed the worms, and the worms created fertile soil. That soil became gardens. The gardens became food. Food became community, and the community became hope. What surprised me the most was that the worms were never really the point. Transformation was the point. Our scripture tells us that great things often begin small. Mustard seeds, yeast and dough, a few loaves and fishes. Well, our story began with a handful of worms, a few buckets of food scraps, and a church in a small town. But this is often how the kingdom begins. In ways that are too small to matter, in ways that get laughed at as impractical or silly. The world teaches us to look at what is big and powerful and dramatic, but God often begins with what is humble and overlooked and hidden. Our initial project was funded with a total of $10,000 that we received through grants from the CalPAC New Ministries, the City of Bishop, the church, and some individual donors. We began by offering educational workshops built around the documentary Kiss the Ground, which explores how healthy soil can improve food systems and restore ecosystems and strengthen water resources. And all of that helps to address climate change. Participants who came to the workshop and agreed to become worm wranglers, was our term, received everything they needed to begin composting with worms at home. Now, our goals were ambitious. We had hoped to recruit 30 worm ranchers to distribute 100 pounds of worms and divert 7 tons of organic waste from the landfill. And by the end of the first season, we had more than doubled our goals. We had over 100 people come to participate in the workshops. 65 households were actively composting, and over 10 tons of organic waste had been diverted from the landfill. But something unexpected happened. See, people came for the worms and the composting, but they stayed for the relationships. And looking back, I think that might be the deepest lesson of all. We often imagine creation as a collection of separate things, but the Bible imagines creation as a community of relationships. Psalm 8 speaks of heavens and moons and stars and animals and birds and fish and humanity all belonging in the same created order, because nothing thrives alone. What began as a composting project became a living lesson in interdependence. We discovered that creation is not a collection of objects, but it is a web of belonging. And what began as a church project quickly became a community project. Gardeners, environmental groups, city leaders, teachers, farmers, church members all found themselves working side by side. And that was the moment that we realized this is not just a worm project. We are participating in God's work of renewing community. Now, during the second season, working with the Bishop Master Gardeners and the City of Bishop, we secured a $130,000 grant. And that let us expand the community garden, improve the infrastructure, created demonstration gardens, and provided growing spaces for low-income families. The project continued to grow. Educational programs expanded. Partnerships multiplied. An unused Sunday school room became a worm farm. One room became two rooms, and two rooms got combined into a much larger space. Volunteers formed a dedicated worm team that meets weekly, and additional community members joined in the effort, bringing fresh ideas and energy and expertise. And you know, as Christians, this should not surprise us, because ours is a faith rooted in the conviction that creation and community matter. See, we worship a God who chose not to remain distant from creation, but who entered it. See, the story of Jesus is the story of incarnation, of God taking on flesh and becoming part of the material world, and the material world becoming part of God's sacred work. And this is where we find the sacred in the ordinary, where water becomes baptism, and bread becomes communion, and ordinary human lives become vessels of grace. See, Christianity does not teach us to escape creation. It teaches us to encounter God within it. Now, we don't worship nature, but neither do we dismiss it. We worship the God who is present in and through creation. And perhaps that is why something as ordinary as soil can become holy ground, and why God can always still surprise us. And you know, then another unexpected thing happened. People began to realize that they could create healthy soil and that they could grow really healthy food. And one of our church worm wranglers became so inspired by the vision of feeding the community that he founded a nonprofit organization called Sierra Farm Fresh. Now, Psalm 8 was growing, and we had some extra funds, and those funds were used as seed money for this new nonprofit, as additional grants were secured to launch a full gleaning program to collect fruit and produce from backyards, fresh, local food that would otherwise go to waste. But now, having a gleaning program meant we also needed a way to distribute that to people who needed it. So in partnership with the church, the city, the state officials, and Sierra Farm Fresh, we launched a weekly certified farm-to-table market in the church hall. Every week, local produce, eggs, beef, honey, baked goods, handcrafted items, and other locally produced products filled the space. Christine Kidd, former editor of Bon Appetit magazine, offers cooking demonstrations using the seasonal produce available at the market. Local musicians provide entertainment. Neighbors gather around tables and relationships are formed. And I believe this is exactly how mission should work. And although it did happen, the goal was never to get people into the church building. The goal was to join God where God was already at work. Mission happened because people gathered around shared tables and a shared care for creation. By the third season, the schools took notice. A hoop house was installed on the school property so that students could learn about soil health and sustainable agriculture and food production. The first student-grown greens appeared at the farm-to-table market last winter and were so successful that produce grown by students is now incorporated into school lunches. With the assistance of Sierra Farm Fresh and a team of volunteers, an orchard was installed on the school campus this past spring. Today, the Psalm 8 Project is in its fourth season. Today, the Bishop United Methodist Church is known throughout CalPAC and the Eastern Sierra as the Worm Church. Some churches are known for their buildings, some for their programs, and some for their history, and we became known for our worms. Worms. Why worms? Why not angels or stars and not something a little more impressive? Well, perhaps because God has always delighted in working through what the world overlooks. You know, Bethlehem instead of Rome. Fishermen instead of kings. A cross instead of a throne. And now, apparently, worms instead of a strategic plan. The worms taught us what Psalm 8 has been teaching us all along, that God's greatness is revealed not only in the stars above, but also in the living soil beneath our feet. Our place in creation is neither to dominate nor withdraw, but to participate. The Worm Project began with a handful of worms, a few people willing to try something new. But it grew because it revealed a deeper truth, that God is always turning what seems insignificant into something life-giving. See, creation care is not simply environmental work. It's participation in God's ongoing work of renewal. And whenever we join God in turning waste into abundance, and strangers into neighbors, and endings into beginnings, we become partners in God's continuing work of resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.